We're joined right now by a quarterback for San Diego State, SDSU's Offensive Player of the Year last season. He is 13-2 overall, is starting quarterback at San Diego State. Best winning percentage in SDSU's Division I history. San Diego State is currently number 25 in the AP poll. They're 7-1. They're 4-1 in conference play. They're in first place in the West Division. And they're at home to play Nevada on November 9th. Ryan Agnew is my guest. Ryan, nice to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure being able to talk with you.
It's great to have you, Ryan. Thanks so much for doing it. Now, you're coming off a great win on the road at UNLV. But before that, we got to go back a little bit. You played your high school ball at Carroll High School in Southlake, Texas, which is a legendary program. There's been some great guys to come through there, guys like Chase Daniel, Kenny Hill. For those who don't know, what is high school football like at Carroll, and what kind of memories do you have from that time?
High school football at Southlake Carroll, it's kind of like that movie Friday Night Lights. You go and play on a Friday night. I remember watching my brothers growing up. You know, the town kind of closes down. I was really lucky, like you said, to watch guys like Chase Daniel play behind guys like Kenny Hill and, you know, Greg McRoy winning a national championship at Alabama. So the tradition was rich in Southlake, and wouldn't want to grow up anywhere else, and it was awesome to play football there.
We're talking to Ryan Agnew. So there's this great story also from your sophomore year. You're playing DeSoto in the quarterfinals. 6 minutes into the game, Kenny Hill, who you mentioned, the starting quarterback, loses his helmet. He's got to come out for a play. You go in on 3rd and 14 on the DeSoto 34. Your head coach said that he called for a quarterback sweep, looking to get a few yards, maybe some better field position. Instead, you rip off a run all the way down to the 2-yard line. How were you feeling during that play, and how were you able to come off the bench and execute like that in that situation?
That was a pretty crazy play. I remember me and one of my friends, we were kind of 30 yards behind the ball, and I saw Kenny's helmet go off, and, you know, I've had to do it a couple times that year, and I just kind of ran in from 30 yards out, and no one kind of knew where I was, and then I got in there, and I saw that they called a quarterback sweep right, and I was like, you know, like you said, I'm just going to run, get some better field position. Saw a gap, almost took it down, felt like the 1 or 2 yard line, kind of bummed that didn't score, but yeah, that was one of the coolest memories I've had, being in, you know, Texas high school football playoffs and being able to rip off a run like that. It was really special.
No doubt. Ryan Agnew joining us, San Diego State quarterback. Now, you passed for nearly 7,000 yards. You rushed for more than 2,000 yards, 96 TDs in high school. These are video game numbers, so as you might expect, there were a number of schools that were interested in you. What was it about San Diego State that made you feel like that was the right spot?
I think it was everything that came with it. I looked at, you know, first of all, the school that I was coming to, the academics. You know, being able to live in San Diego and Southern California, you can't really get better than that. And then the coaching staff was just incredible with, you know, Coach Rocky Long, Coach Jeff Horton, Blaine Morgan, like all these guys that brought me here, because this is going to be a decision that's going to affect me for the rest of my life. And San Diego State was the best decision for me. And, you know, ever since I came here, I haven't looked back, and really grateful that, you know, I got this opportunity, and, you know, try and do the best I can with it.
Now, it's worked out great for both sides, but that doesn't mean that it's easy. For instance, you show up on campus and you've got to be patient. You redshirt your first year, and then you see some action in 2016 and 17. What were those two seasons like, and what did you learn during that time?
Yeah, you definitely have to be patient in college football. I mean, there's plenty of good athletes. We had great quarterbacks in front of me, and Christian Chapman and Maxwell Smith. So when I got here, I just tried to learn as much as I could. I was obviously coming in as a freshman. You know, you're not ready to play sometimes, and I wasn't ready to play. So, you know, every day I had to come out to work, and, you know, I had those few opportunities in 2016, 2017, which, you know, led in 2018 to now. Is just, you got to keep getting better as possibly as you can, because you never know when it's your opportunity. So I think it was just a great job by the coaches. Try to stay as patient as possible, and when I got my opportunity, I just, you know, wanted to do as much as I could with it, and I'm still trying to do the best I can right now.
Ryan Agnew is joining us. We're talking San Diego State football. So when you make that transition from high school to college, even an elite high school program like the one you played at, how significant is the step up? I mean, is it major, or is football just football no matter where you play?
Football is football no matter where you play, but at the end of the day, when you go to college, the guys are bigger, faster, and stronger. It doesn't matter what high school you kind of play at. The competition's going to be better because – you know, every guy in college was the best player at their high school, or, you know, one of the top guys on their team. So in college football, as everyone's seen across the country, is anybody can beat anybody. And you got to come with it every single day. You can't take a lax play. You can't take a lax series. And you definitely can't take a lax game, or else you're going to get beat. And so I think that's kind of the difference between high school and college, is you got to be able to bring it every single moment, or else you're going to get beat.
We're talking to Ryan Agnew. So one of the things that I've heard you talk about, and you did so before the start of the season, you want to make sure the team finished strong, both in games and throughout the course of the season. You led the team to its second 7-1 start for the last 42 years. You guys are finishing games well. As you look at it, what is the biggest key to finishing and coming out of a tight game with a win?
I think that definitely started in January. That started after last season. We weren't happy with how we finished the year before, and our goal is to finish games better. It was to, you know, finish the season better. So, you know, every single game we go into, we want to play hard, hard-nosed football, Aztec football for a full 60 minutes. It's not just, you know, until we get up by a certain amount or until, you know, we feel like they're done. It's the entire 60 minutes. And it's tough to do. It's tough to play hard football for 60 minutes. But I think, you know, our strength staff and our coaching staff has instilled that into us, you know, since January. And we're just trying to go work our butt off for as long as we can, as hard as we can. And we know with our formula that if we do that as best we can, we have a really good chance to win. It might not work out all the times, but as long as we put ourselves in the right position, you know, that's all we can ask for.
Aztecs quarterback Ryan Agnew joining us. So you start the season with a victory, and then in week two, you go up against UCLA. Now, you guys have had a lot of success against Pac-12 schools since 2016, but you had never beaten UCLA before. What kind of thoughts and emotions were you feeling when you hit the field against them?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy looking back and hearing the history between San Diego State and UCLA, and San Diego State's never beaten UCLA, especially being two, like, Southern California teams. You would think, you know, sometime in our history we would have won. So going into that game, yeah, there was history behind it, but, you know, none of the guys on the team have played UCLA before. None of the guys on UCLA have played us before. So it was a whole different game. But walking onto the Rose Bowl, being in there and the granddaddy of them all, it was a special moment. But as soon as that clock starts going, and, you know, it's a normal football game, and really lucky to come out with a win there. You know, played our butts off against a really good UCLA football team that we're seeing now, and it was a really monumental win for our school and for, you know, all the guys on the team.
I mean, you sort of answered it, but I was going to say you passed for 293 yards and a TD. You beat UCLA 23-14. That's the first win over the Bruins in 23 attempts. I mean, anytime you throw for nearly 300 yards in a win over a big-time program, it's going to be special. But if you're a kid in Texas and you're growing up and you're thinking about games like this, what was it like to show up on that big stage at the Rose Bowl, play the way you did, get a win, something that the program had not had before? What do you remember about that game most?
The thing that I take back most is you got to treat that game like anything else. Yeah, it was in the Rose Bowl. It's a huge atmosphere against a great team in UCLA. But if you go in with that mindset, you might press too much or you might be too scared. So you have to go in. You have to take your coaching. I think our coaches did a great job preparing us for that week. You know, not building up too much, but letting us know, you know, how big of a game it was. And we just tried to use everything we did from the off season in January and just said, you know, as long as we play our football, play as best as we can, you know, let the cards fall where they may. And defense played outstanding, special teams played outstanding, and I just try and do my part. You know, if I'm getting the ball into the hands of the playmakers, they make me look good. You know, as long as I get the ball in the hands of those guys, then, you know, I'll be all right.
All right, so that leads me into the next point. People around the program are talking about how much you've grown as a leader during your time there. So what's your approach? How do you go about approaching being a leader and rallying guys in tough situations?
I think for us, it's all about, you know, do your job. The most important guy on our team is the Aztec Warrior next to you. So as long as you do your job to the best of your ability, then I know the guy next to me is going to do his best job. And if you do that and you trust everyone on the field, all 11 guys with you, then it can really be something special. But as soon as you start to wane or you start to, you know, play timid or not trust the guy next to you, that's when you make mistakes. And we just want to trust each other, do as best as we can, and I really like our team when we do those things.
I have to think that trust you're talking about, part of that is built during off-season workouts where you'd always be getting guys together early in the morning to work out. The story also goes that some of your teammates may not have always been super happy about working out at 7 o'clock on a day where they could sleep in and would respond with some interesting emojis. Why was it so important to get that work done early in the morning? Was that about developing a mentality?
Yeah, I think not only was it developing a mentality, but it was also we were trying to get the new offense down. And, yeah, some guys didn't like it when I asked to come up on a Saturday or sometimes Sunday in the afternoon. But, yeah, they might have had those mixed emotions and they hated it. But they showed up, they came to work, and I think the reason why they did it is because they understood what, you know, needed to be done if we wanted to be successful. You know, it might suck getting up early and coming up here and throwing or doing whatever we need to do, but They understood, I understood, coaches understood, that's what needs to get done if we want to be champions. And, you know, our goal is to be the champions of the Mountain West Conference. You know, so far 7-1, 4-1 in conference, like you said, you know, we set ourselves up pretty good. So I think those early morning throw-in sessions kind of worked out in our favor.
Aztec quarterback Ryan Agnew, my guest, last thoughts. You've got some time off before you face Nevada next week. How do you go about preparing for them specifically?
This week is all about getting back to the basics. You know, you get into a season, you might kind of get away from the basics, you get away from your fundamentals. So we try to get back that into our mindset, and then, you know, rest up, get as well as we can, watch as much film on Nevada as we possibly can, take this weekend off, enjoy it, watch some college football. You don't get many moments to watch college football when you're playing, so just enjoy the weekend. And when Monday comes, you know, it's right back to work. It's right back to work. All about Nevada, and you know, we're excited to get back on the field in front of the home crowd here in San Diego.
Good on you, man. 13-2 is the starting quarterback at San Diego State. He was their offensive player of the year last season. San Diego State again, 7-1, 4-1, number 25 in the AP poll, and they've got Nevada November 9th. Ryan, great job in the jungle. Great to have you. Good luck. Hope we can do it again.
All right, thank you so much. I appreciate you for having me.
Ryan, great job. Really well done. Really well done. All right, then. You can see why the coaching staff is happy with him. San Diego State, 25th nationally, and they're in first in the West.